Thank you. This evening's information presentation is in the context of a council action that will be happening on Thursday, or a discussion in which we'll be talking about, the council will be asked to determine whether additional adjustments are needed to the alternatives or plan for analysis, and to provide guidance on the next stage for developing the environmental impact statement. In your briefing materials, this is all under agenda C7A, and you'll find there are three attachments that are relevant to this evening's presentation. The first one, TIQ information session one, has the two questions that Dr. McIsaac indicated would be asked and have been provided in advance. Also in that attachment are the program goals and objectives, national standards, FMP goals and objectives, and the Trail IQ program goals and objectives for reference by both those making the presentations and council members. That's agenda item C7A, TIQ information session one. The second item, TIQ information session two, is a harvester position that was provided by Mr. Leipzig. Both presenters this evening were invited to provide something for the briefing book, and I do want to make it clear that this is not a staff document, but is what Mr. Leipzig has provided. Then the third attachment is one that Dr. McIsaac referred to earlier, which provides the format and schedule for this evening's presentations. With respect to the overall program, I'm just going to go over this very generally to remind you that we're looking at how we're going to control catch, and we do want to emphasize catch, not landings, for the limited entry trawl fishery. We have five management regime alternatives that are under consideration, the status quo alternative one. Then we have three IFQ alternatives, two, three, and four labeled here. And they vary by the scope or the species of coverage that the IFQs cover. And then alternative five is the cumulative catch limits, so that's a change from landing limits to catch limits, and permit stacking. So within the management regime alternatives, then we talk about the different tools that we're going to use, and one of them is IFQ programs, and we talk about using season management and cumulative limits and so forth. But one of the tools is the IFQ programs, and we have three programs that have been developed by the Trawl IQ Committee, labeled program A, B, and C here in this diagram, and you can see that they've been matched up for analytical purposes with the different alternatives. So, for example, we'll be analyzing program three in combination with IFQ program A, IFQ program B, IFQ program C, and so forth. Then the IFQ program each have their own design elements. And one of the primary ones, and the ones we're here to talk about this evening, is the initial allocation of individual fishing quota to processors and permit holders. And under the programs that we have on the table right now, the program A would allocate half to each, program B would allocate it all to the permit holders, and program C would allocate 75% of it to the permit holders and 25% to the processors. The council at the June meeting took out of the list for direct analysis two options. One would have allocated 90% to permit holders and 10% to processors. Another would have allocated 50-50 to the two groups for whiting, and everything else would have been allocated 100% to the permit holders. While these were withdrawn from direct analysis, they are viewed as being within the scope of the programs that are on the table, and something that the council could adopt as it moves towards final action if it decides to go ahead with an IFQ program. A few policy notes I want to make with respect to this. One is that we are talking about individual fishing quotas being allocated to processors. We're not talking about individual processing quotas. So individual fishing quotas, there's the program would allow these to be acquired by anyone who's eligible to own or eligible to own and operate a U.S. documented fishing vessel under the current alternative. So once they're issued to processors, or once they're issued to permit holders, they could be transferred to either group. The processor, ones issued to processors go to fishermen, the ones issued to permit holders go to processors, or they can be transferred to crew members, or they can be transferred to communities or banks, or anybody would be eligible to own a U.S. documented fishing vessel or operate a U.S. documented fishing vessel. The third bullet here is that we need to, when we're talking about these initial allocations, we have to take into and think about the context in which they're being considered, and they can interact with other provisions of the IFQ program. One example would be grandfather clauses. And for these programs, the only grandfather clause we have right now are accumulation limits. So where this becomes relevant is then with the initial allocation, let's say you have a 1% accumulation limit on what any one person can own. With the grandfather clause, they would have, if somebody qualified for 2%, then they would be allowed to keep that 2%. They couldn't acquire any more, but they would allow to keep what they what their initial allocation was. Somebody else who qualified for none or qualified for 0.5% would be able to acquire IFQ, but they would only be able to acquire it up to that 1% limit. So one interaction here of the initial allocation with another feature of the program that's important to keep in mind is the interaction with the accumulation limits. Those are the policy notes I would make for right now in the general context. If there's any questions the council members have, I'd be glad to address them.
Thank you, Jim. Any council questions on Jim's presentation? Dr. McIsaac, do you have